John chapter 1, we'll start in verse 14, but we're going to read through verse 18 in a second. Verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You know, this time of year, we're excited about Christmas, and we think of gifts, we think of being with family, and we think of a baby in a manger, and we have that picture of the manger scene, and we go about our Christmas, and we neglect to think, to really consider what Christmas is about. And Christmas is more than just presents. It's more than just a baby in a manger. It's not just a cute Christmas story or a holiday story. It is a story of salvation. It is the story of life. The fact that God dwelt among men that we might have life eternal. So this morning, we're going to look through John chapter 1, 1 through 18, and we're going to look at Christmas as more than just a baby in a manger. Here in John, he introduces his gospel a little bit different than the other gospel writers, Matthew and Luke. Matthew introduces his gospel with the genealogy of Christ, of Jesus, introduces, it's more of a legal side of who Christ is. It's for the Jewish mindset of this little baby Jesus is the Messiah through his lineage, through the promise that God had given David. He is going to be the King of Kings. He is the King of Kings. Mark introduces his gospel completely going past the birth of Christ and introducing him as his ministry. He opens up his ministry there of John the Baptist, introducing him as the Lamb of God that's going to take away the sin of the world. Luke, again, he introduces him as a baby being born, and we see the miraculous side of things of the virgin birth, pointing to that he is God. And all these start with the beginning, his earthly beginning, Matthew and Luke are his earthly beginning. Matthew and Luke are his earthly beginning. Mark is the beginning of his earthly ministry, and John here begins with the fact that Jesus had no real beginning, and we'll see that here in a second. But before we begin, let's open with the word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your love to us. I thank you for your many blessings to us. Lord, I thank you that Christmas is not just about a cute story of a baby being born in difficult circumstances, Lord, but you were born to die for us. You were born to give us salvation. You were born to give us life. You were born to give us light. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us not to forget that this time of year. Help us not to forget that this Christmas, as we, in a few days, we're going to celebrate together with family, with each other. Lord, and help us to not neglect you, Lord, and to be discouraged with what we don't have, or be distracted with all that we have, Lord, but help us to be thankful for what you have given us and what is truly important in our lives, Lord, and that is our relationship with you, our fellowship with you, Lord, that we can serve you, Lord, and the peace that you give to us. Lord, we thank you for all that you do. Work in our hearts even now. In your name I pray. Amen. Now, many of these things are not going to be new and shocking to you. These things that we understand as Christians, these things we have heard and learned. But it's always good to be reminded. This year could be very busy going to this party, that program, this activity, that activity, shopping here, shopping there, shoveling your driveway, or watching other people shovel your driveway. And we can get so busy that we forget to consider what Christ has done for us as we celebrate Christmas. So let's begin in verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This is he whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? I meant to read to verse 18. That's all we needed to go to. But verse 18, we'll finish off. But we see here John's description of who Christ is. We don't see the manger in John's description, John's introduction, but we see Christ's eternality. We see that Christ was from the beginning. In the beginning was. We have a head of our religion, if you want to put it that way, who didn't have a beginning, who has no end. He's eternal. He has no beginning. He has no end. Other religions, the men that they follow, they have a beginning and they've had a death. And they are going to spend eternity somewhere, but it's not based on what they say and what they tried to figure out. But we follow an eternal God. Christ is eternal. He is the creator of all things, which we'll see here in a little bit. He made heaven and earth. He has eternity in his control. This little baby that we see in the manger scenes, and how innocent and delicate the baby Jesus looks. But that little baby held all the power in the world. He held eternity, still holds eternity. This baby Jesus is the eternal one. In the beginning, when the world began, Christ already was. Revelation 1:8 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. He's the beginning, the end. He's what was, what was, is to come. He is all things. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Part of his eternality is he's never changing. He is the same. We have, as we celebrate Christmas, we need to remember that we have a home in heaven because Christ is eternal. We have reason to celebrate more than just because it's fun, because it's festive. We have a reason to celebrate because our God, who is eternal, came for a purpose, came to dwell among men, took on human flesh that we might have salvation. Here he says, in the beginning was the Word. He's eternal. We also see the description there of him being the Word. He's the Word of God. Christ is the expression of God. He is the very message of who God is. We look at the life of Christ here on earth. His purpose was to do God's will. He was merciful. He was meek. The Bible says he's meek and lowly. Does that mean he's kind of just kind of quiet and, you know, soft spoken? What does meek mean?
It's more pertaining to his attitude than
his attitude. Meekness is restrained power. He had the authority and the power. When he spoke, he could have wiped out everyone around him. We see that when they came to arrest him, he had the power to over the angels, to call the angels, 10,000 angels, and they could have taken him to safety. The fact that when they asked, where was this Jesus, and he said, I am, speaking of his Godhead. What happened to them? The soldiers that came to arrest him. Bible tells us they fell backwards. Just the power of him just saying who he was. But when they arrested him, to crucify him. Being God, he had all power. But yet with meekness, He withstrained his power because he knew why. What did he know? What did he come to earth to do?
He came to die for
us. The only way of salvation was death. For the wages of sin is death. A perfect sacrifice was required. For us to pay for our death, we'd have to pay for eternity because of our guilt. But a perfect sacrifice, a righteous sacrifice, takes away the sins, all the sins of all the world. And because of his meekness, his love, him being the message, the expression of God, being the Word, expressed who God is and who God is, God of love and of forgiveness, as we seek to his forgiveness through Christ, the expression of his love, the expression of who he is. And that baby in that manger that we see is not just an infant. The baby is the message of God. Message of salvation, the message of life. Hebrews 1:1-3 says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus Christ was the expression of God's love and salvation for us. John 3:16-18 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Galatians 4:4-5 says, But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Christ is the expression of God, the message of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We see that he was distinct from God, yet he is God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That phrase there is hard to understand, isn't it? How could Christ be with God and God at the same time? Can I explain it to you? Not really. It's hard to understand. It's hard to make sense. But we see here in Scripture that Christ is God, the three in one. Matthew 1:23 says, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Christ was God in the flesh with us. 1 John 3:16 and says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into the glory." God was made manifest in Jesus Christ. He was justified in the Spirit. Christ left heaven, laid aside his glory. He never lost his glory, he never lost his power, but he veiled it in flesh. All for us. For you, for me. We might have eternity. Now, salvation isn't just about eternity. It's about today as well. We have been given victory over sin. We have been given the power over sin. We don't have to be ruled and controlled by our sin nature. All because God became man for us to take our place. He is distinct from God, yet God. We also see in verse 3, he is the creator of all things. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He gave us salvation, but he gave us life. Everything that we see was created by God, was created by Christ, and for Christ. Colossians 1:13-17 says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." Everything that we enjoy here on earth is because of Christ, because of his creation. They are created by him and for him. And because he is our creator, he is to have what? Preeminence in our life, isn't he? All things were made by him. He is the creator. He is a life giver. Verse 4 says, "In him was life, And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. Christ is the giver of life. Genesis 2, verse 7 says, And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Job 33, verse 4, The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Christ gave us physical life, but he also gave us spiritual life. Romans 6:23 says, For the wages of sin is death. He gave us physical life, but because of sin, there's physical death, but also spiritual death. Separation from God forever. Separation from physical life. We know that Romans 6:23 doesn't stop with the payment of sin, but it tells us the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He gives us physical life, but he gives us spiritual life. Romans 5:21 says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. John 11:25-26 says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He gives us spiritual life. He gives us abundant life. We have, as Christians, we don't have to live worn down and weary and in constant misery. We have been given abundant life. We've been given joy and peace. We've been given a life that's worth living. Why do we see so many Christians that are another week, ho-hum, I've got this problem, that problem, and I've got to do this, I've got to do that, and got this hardship and that hardship. And praise the Lord. Is that life? No, that's not life that God has given us. Does that mean that we're not going to have difficulties and problems? No, but we have the answer to those problems, don't we? We have direction. We don't have to, as Anthony taught in Sunday school this morning, we don't have to lean on our own, in our own ways, or in our own wisdom. But we can trust in the Lord and seek his direction. And he takes care of those problems as we trust him for it. And we need to put our trust in him. And as we have that spiritual life, that physical life, he gives us abundant life. He gives that peace and joy that passes all understanding as we trust him. The reason why we're miserable sometimes and in our hardships is because we're trying to fix the problem ourselves. We are looking at the problem instead of trusting in Christ, the solution, and watching him take care of and lead us in the right way. As we acknowledge him, he will direct our paths. He has life. He is the life giver. In him was life, and the light, and the life was the light of men. We see that he is the light giver. He gives direction. John 3:19-20 says, And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. Matthew 5:14-16 says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Light reveals truth, doesn't it? How many of you like wandering around your house in darkness? What usually happens? You walk into something. You stub your toe on the one thing that wasn't put away that night for some reason. You step on that. You step on your keys that you dropped. But what do you use to find your way around the house? A flashlight, or you turn on the light. So you wake up your wife and your kids. No. You want to see what is truly there, not what you think is there or might be there, but what is truly there. And Christ reveals truth. It reveals men's error, it reveals men's sin, but it reveals the truth of salvation. And he also calls us to be what? Light givers. Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine among men. What light do we shine? The truth of God's word. We show others. We're to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. We're to tell others about Christ. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. God uses each and every one of us to spread the gospel, to give the truth, the light. Do men seek the truth on their own many times? No, they don't. God's word. Is the way of salvation. It shows who Jesus is, shows who God is. And as we share God's word, as we share the gospel, we share the true light. And we are light bearers. We show who the light giver is, Jesus Christ. And we need to give the gospel wherever we go. But Christ is the light of the world. Let's look at verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. As we read through the New Testament, Christ was widely accepted as the Messiah, wasn't he? And flocks of people followed him to a point. They wanted the free food and free health care, didn't they? They were happy to follow him when people were being healed, when people were being fed. They saw the miracles. But when he showed man's sin and that he was to be the sacrifice for their sin, what did they redo? What did they do? They left. When it came to understanding truth of God's word, they didn't want to have any part of it. When it seemed like the political tides were against Christ. Ooh, there's too much trouble in this. I don't want a part of it. Here in John, it says He came unto his own, and his what? Own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The little baby in the manger, not just a baby, but he's the Savior. The Savior for those who what? Believe. Christmas caroled Friday on Main Street in Stephenville. They have a Christmas adventure on Main Street. And this year they decided to have different sections, and they had a nativity section. And I didn't even get to see the nativity. They didn't put it where they were supposed to put it, but it was grand and glorious, wasn't it, Courtney? That was the nativity scene. What Christmas is really about, the world kind of puts it to the side and no big deal. Hundreds of people walked by that little manger scene, walked by the true meaning of Christmas, and granted, that little plastic baby does nothing, but who that plastic baby represents. Without a thought about who the baby represented. Not a care. Baby in the manger does nothing for those that don't believe, that don't put their trust in Christ, in the Word, the eternal God, the message of God, the expression of God, the light giver, the life giver. Salvation only comes to those who believe. Verse 13 says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Many people are dependent upon their family ties to, oh, my family went to church, and I was sprinkled as a baby, or was baptized as a child, and I'm part of this church or I'm part of that church, and I'm okay. But salvation comes not from who our parents are, or what our parents had the church do for us, or what the church did for us. But it depends upon whether or not we believe on his name. Salvation comes through faith, faith alone. Of course, I believe many of you know this and understand this. But as we celebrate Christmas, we need to see and remember who that baby was in that manger, and be thankful. And praise God for what he has done for us, and what that all of it means for each and every one of us. And be thankful that we had someone to share the truth of salvation to us, that we might have salvation by grace through faith. And let us be the light givers to share the light of life, Jesus Christ, to someone this Christmas, that they can truly celebrate Christmas and the baby in the manger that is their Savior as well.